Okay, so you guys online, you can see the listening skill builders, and I know that you have worked with them before, but I think they're a pretty continual reminder. And I know for me, I've probably worked with really actively developing my listening skills. I'm going to think since maybe 2005, 2003 even, where I've really, and I've worked with these particular skill builders for years. So what we've talked about in the past is we have our active listening, which these skill builders are a little bit more about real world listening, listening to each other, that kind of thing. So they're helpful that way. But also, you heard in the invocation more about the divine listening. And one of the things, and I was thinking, I still want to create an actual image, is part of divine listening is that being able to access your inner guidance. And also to be able to function through that, to actually bring it into reality. So what was happening in the invocation was each of your chakras was really being empowered. And they were being empowered to activate you into a whole body listening. The imagery I was shown around this is, because our chakras are in the front and the back of us, is that it was like an oval table, and each of the chakras had a spot at the table, and each of the chakras had its own voice. It had its own perception. So you're perceiving from spirit. Another time you're perceiving and you're listening from your intuition or your intellect, your imagination, your inner guidance. Another time you're listening from your truth and your voice, your heart, each of the chakras. And then when you get to the lower ones, really listening to, they get into your real world stuff. And what I see a lot of times in this kind of work is everybody says, well, I've got to listen to my heart. But your logical mind needs a voice too. So what I was shown in this imagery of the chakras sitting at the table is that every chakra had to have an equal voice. And what can happen sometimes is they all get in, they get mixed up, they talk at once. One doesn't get a voice, another one has a louder voice. And so what I've seen with what actually happens with Reiki is it will actually come in and align all of those voices as if they have a talking stick. So it'll kind of come in and organize. That's even part of where this workbook came from, is to organize all the different voices that activate in our life every day. So these are very real-world examples of the place they play out. But in the same way, your whole body listening to you, because again, remember, really the tagline for this class or the intention of this class is conscious action through inner guidance. So the word manifest implies that this is going to be a worldly result. And so your logical mind needs a voice. Your logical mind needs to be able to talk to the heart about what the heart's saying. And equally, your heart needs to have a voice with what your logical mind says. So when we're working in these realms, we're working with active listening, So let's say as a practitioner, you're listening to a client, or in your key relationships, you're listening to another person, or you have to really think about something very functional where you need a solution and you're listening in very practical realms. Those are mostly the voices of the lower chakra, active listening. And then when you move into going into more of your inner guidance, this voice still needs to have an equal voice with your heart, because your logical mind needs to have inner guidance too. The other thing that I've seen that is happening with really opening up that whole body listening, where all the chakras have an equal voice, I'm seeing it shift people into their gut instincts and out of their gut fears. So what I've noticed in the work is our gut, like, you know, we think of the saying, you know, what does your gut tell you? Well, our gut really has to do with our instincts. And our instincts are here for us to know how to survive in the physical world. What happens with our instincts is often they get covered with gut fear. Or you might even just put it into a smaller category than that of just worry. And so it gets hard to hear all the different parts of you. So where I'm going with this is, in today's invocation, that was a very specific clearing of those chakras for listening. And I knew we were going to be talking about listening, but I didn't know the invocation was going to go there until we were in it, and that's where it went. So, again, listening is one of those things that I focus my attention on it. And I also listen on the fly. That's the other piece is, you know, you often think, well, if I'm going to be whole body listening, I need to be sitting still and, you know, meditating. And now I can hear. But we live really busy lives, and we need these abilities in the middle of everything else that we're doing. So I watched that in the invocation, where it actually came in and worked with each of your chakras and each chakra to highlight the colors, because we're made of color, to highlight those colors and activate and empower your ability to listen from all parts of you. So that kind of goes into the whole body listening. Divine listening, of course, is listening deeper into your spirit. I don't know if you noticed Honcha Zei Shonen taking you deeper in. It did that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I lose track sometimes because I'm in these a lot. So Honcha Zei Shonen, we think of it as a bridge of light going, you know, like often we use it to travel outside, or we're going to go over to the third heaven, which we're going to do that today too, where we hop on that bridge of light, which is what Honcha Zei Shonen is. Honcha Zei Shonen is also a bridge of light into your higher self. I want to say that differently. It's a bridge of light directly into the core of your being, that power of love, that pure spirit that you are. You can literally take it and go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into your own inner guidance. So that's where that divine guidance can come from. And what Honcha Zei Shonen does is it takes you deeper into yourself, and it reveals to you your spirit so you can be perceiving from there as well as your whole body. Now, the whole body, mind, body, and spirit are all activated listening, each with an equal voice. Because when you are living in your daily life, you're doing, you're creating, you're being, you're manifesting, you're doing all these different things at once. And so if you can just allow that listening to be present, it's active in your busyness. Now, there are plenty of times that I'm like, I don't even want to be in whole body listening. I got my little field up and I'm just going to check out a little bit, and that's where I'm at. And that's okay too. But the difference for me, because I've practiced so much with listening, is I can move into that divine listening, these active listening skill builders we're going to go over in a minute. I can move into that state of listening quickly. So let's say I'm in a group situation, and maybe it's, you know, we just had the holidays, and you had an example of listening in the holidays where, you know, she was at a holiday family party that with people she's seen for 20 years that only do kind of a superficial chit chat, and suddenly she noticed that this person actually needed to be listened to. So she switched right then into active listening to where this person really knew she was being heard, allowed that person to open up. She stayed in listening. That person went deeper after 20 years of always only being a family superficial chit-chat conversation. And that's facilitated by going into that active listening. And in the same situation, the same person might have stayed in chit-chat, and then you might think, well, I'm going to just stay in chit-chat because that's the scoop right now, you know, and that happens too. So let's go ahead. Any questions on any of that before we move on to the next one? How about any of you guys? Any questions?
Ali, do you mind resending that little flyer? I remember we got it in the previous class.
Yeah.
I think I misplaced it.
Yep. And I printed one for everybody too. That you'll get next time. But we'll put it in the follow-up email so you can put it in your manual. But if you don't get to it, I have one for you. But you'll want it probably sooner than that. So we'll send it in the follow-up email. Yeah. So these were, and I meant to put that on here and I forgot. These were developed by someone at Portland State University. And I never found out exactly whose name it was, so I like to credit it at least that it was something I took from someone else that probably spent a long time developing it. So I want to also just acknowledge them. So these are skill builders, and these are active listening skills. And I know, like Kimberly, you probably know a lot about this in your field and that you have to stay in that active listening. But it's still, you know, for me, I still have to remember and remind myself about these. So I wait for others to finish speaking before deciding how to reply. I approach important listening situations by clearing my mind and taking steps to prevent interruptions or distractions. I don't engage in other activities such as opening mail, working on the computer. Oh, this is an old one because we switched it to looking at your phone while I'm listening. I resist the temptation to assume I know what others will say and tune out as a result. I never finish sentences for others when they stumble or pause. I avoid letting my prejudices cause me to tune out. I avoid tuning out others when they say things I don't agree with or don't want to hear. I resist forming a rebuttal in my mind while others are talking. I pay attention to nonverbal cues such as voice, tone, posture, and pace. I willingly ask people to repeat themselves or clarify a point. I avoid fidgeting when others speak too slowly or when their conversation becomes boring to me. I work hard not to dwell on aspects of others that have no bearing on the conversation, such as their clothing or mannerisms. I resist daydreaming when others are talking. I avoid using the same response repeatedly in place of really listening, like right, uh-huh. And then you want to talk about the head one?
A lot of what we do in these modalities, because we are signaling to other people that we're listening to them, we nod our head repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We do it all the time. And it's not to say that also we don't do it in the right times, but I think what happens to us is we are trying to give these nonverbal cues that we're listening to. I'm fully engaged in listening to you. What it's actually doing is a bit of a distraction, and it's subconsciously taking you out of that really active listening role that you're supposed to be in. And I really noticed it for me when we were doing the podcast, one of the very first podcasts that we're doing, not a lot, and I go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I remember consciously thinking, like, I'm doing this to let her know, to signal to her that I'm listening, and thinking I was being actually considerate and doing that. And then really practicing with these and realizing this one, and also listening to it back, how obnoxious it was. But realizing that, I didn't know that I shouldn't be doing this, and this is actually taking me out of the moment. So be cognizant of that one. However, having said that, yeah, go ahead.
I want to say something about that. There's some research that shows that nodding your head three times, it encourages people to talk. So it's actually
interesting.
Yeah, so I think it's a matter of being present while if you're going to be nodding, you know.
Yeah, and it's a balance.
Being conscious of what you're doing, but it's not shutting that person down. It's actually encouraging them to talk more.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because when we talked about this, we talked about it in our Discover class last night, and we have people from all over the world there. They were actually talking about how culturally this is different. The two that joined us from Japan, it's actually better to acknowledge. So these are just kind of baselines to that, especially this one.
Speak up maybe a little bit more.
Is a baseline, and like you were saying, like maybe there's new research coming out about it, or in a different cultural scenario, but it's also to kind of really notice in the moment if you are doing a lot or something like that really repetitive. So, but I appreciate that feedback because that might need to be updated a little bit.
If you look at Vanessa Van Edwards, she's a behavioral scientist, you might check her out.
Okay.
Well, and in Japan, they say hi, and not hi like hello. It's hi as an acknowledgement. Hi, hi. And everywhere you go, they all say hi, hi all the time. And so we were talking about that too, where that was different in that culture too, that they said, boy, it'd be pretty awkward to not be answering with hi when that's what people are going to expect you to say. Mm-hmm. It's a conscious listening, you know. It's a consciousness about, you know, just being present. Yeah.
And Allison might have more to say too.
Oh yeah. That's right. With you guys being therapists too, so you guys can hear okay. All you guys online.
We can hear you and Robin, but it's hard to hear the other conversation.
Oh, okay. So what Kimberly was saying is that actually research shows in therapy that it is very effective to shake your head like three times or to acknowledge three times. And so is that something then she was saying, Anne and Allison, you guys are therapists too, that that might be something that you're aware of as well.
We can encourage people to speak more.
Yeah, body language, being receptive, and looking as though you're paying attention. Body encourages the brain to continue sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then I watch the tendency to use body language that does not encourage communication. And this one was a big one for me. I resist the need to fill the silence. And now I kind of never do that. And it took a while for some of my friends to get used to me. I stopped filling the silence all the time. They'd be waiting for me to be the one to fill the silence. And for a long time, it was something I had to really focus my attention on and learn how to, you know, not do that. And now it's pretty easy. But what I would say for me, becoming a good listener and listening just plain in life is probably one of the most single life-changing skill builders that I developed. It's something I have actively gone deeper with and developed more skill with, and not just as a practitioner, but in life. And the reason that I talk about that, the importance in that, is that's how you access your inner guidance. And when you learn how to listen, you also learn how to listen on the fly. So you're listening in the middle of your busyness. And the other thing that I think is important that showed up this morning for someone was understanding that how that works for you is going to be applied in your daily life. It's going to be how that matters for you. And this person was talking about she was saying, my life focus is on numbers. I love thinking about numbers. All my work all day long is thinking about costs of goods sold. You know, she's an accountant, so she was talking about all the accounting. And she said, I just don't get when people are talking about Reiki and all these other ways. And it's like, well, let it come in and empower your natural gifts. So rather than trying to make that different, let the energy, let the listening, let the intuition all operate the way that's natural to you. A person who has a very analytical, linear mind has an equal intuition, equal in imagination. And that's when we've talked about the clair intellect, where you think your intuition rather than feel your intuition or see your intuition. So listening for me has probably been the other thing I would say is it has really brought me freedom. One of the major things that happened is it gave me a better ability to not interject my opinions all the time. And that just turned out really nice, especially in family situations. And, you know, most families, I don't know about your guys, but mine, it's pretty rampant opinions, you know. And so I can just enjoy being with everybody and I don't have to get in the middle of it all. I can just walk around, peek an ear over here, peek an ear over there. And the one thing that I would say that is a challenge with it is I'm no longer really interested in like really getting in there and getting heard, because I just don't have that need. So sometimes I do miss out on the raucous big engagement when the family's all together and everybody's talking about it all. So, but anyway, so put these in your books or put them wherever you can think to listen or to think about them. And just start thinking about listening. In addition, you know, many of us are working with spirit guides. This is the same thing. You've got to stay in a state of being able to listen, but you can also do that in your busyness. So that's the other piece. That's where that whole body part comes in, so that you can listen in every aspect of your life. Whether you are in the practical, real world busyness of, you know, job, work, money, all of those things, or whether you're in the spiritual aspect of yourself, that whole body listening gives all parts of you an equal voice. Is everybody familiar with the talking stick? Because that's the other thing that was shown to me in imagery. It was in a session with somebody. And to give this person the ability to listen with the whole body, they actually gave each chakra the talking stick at a unique time so that the rest of them would listen. In that case, it happened to be a person who needed to listen to her logical mind, but thought, no, I only want to listen to my heart. Well, the logical mind plays out in your day. It's that root chakra that, you know, you're working in these lower three chakras. And that's the reality of where we live. So then that also comes into this, because these are very much real world listening skills. Anything you want to add? Okay.
I have something I want to add.
Yeah.
So I'm sensing that I have to
share. Can you speak up so these guys can hear too?
Yes, I am sensing that I have to share about the transpersonal chakras. So we are very familiar, for most of us that are light workers and energy healers, of the chakras that are in our physical bodies that Colleen walked us through. But it is also important, because we are integrating our higher self into our body, to understand that there are transpersonal chakras that are around our auric field that deepens that connection. Mm-hmm. And so the two that are coming to me to speak out are, because there's more than two, but it's the earth star chakra, which is below mm-hmm. our feet, and the soul star. And so you envision it, so if the chakras are in our spinal column, front and back, the earth star is beneath our feet, and the soul star is a little bit over to the right, or left, or whatever, but it's positioned a little bit off, you know, off center. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple others that are in addition, but just if you have any inclination intuitively to understand more of it, Google search transpersonal chakra, soul star chakra, earth star chakra, and that is only for your ascension and your level of consciousness, and with everything that is unfolding that Colleen and Robin are speaking mm-hmm. about tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, identifying those. And that's where, in that invocation, where it was having you listen below you and listen above you, that's where that's going, is into those areas. Yeah. I think there's a bunch of information on that in the Karuna Reiki book, too. Yeah, I think so, that Laurel Gaia wrote. Is that? But like you say, you can Google it. Mm-hmm. Earth star and soul star.
And when you're ready, your intuition is going to guide you to that.
Maybe there's something in place.
So it's not like, if you want to integrate your light body, your higher self, whatever you want to call it, your divinity, that those are parts of the process when we're ready to move beyond the seven chakras. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Could you guys hear all that? No? Okay, so what we were talking about, Elizabeth was talking about the additional chakras, the transpersonal chakras that are the earth star and the soul star. And then what did you call the center, the one in your heart?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't call that one. Okay, because there's one. Yes, yes. There's also the other one that's right here. So we were just talking about those chakras are also integrating into that whole body. And that's where when we were talking about in the invocation where you're listening below you and listening above you, listening on each side, in front and in back, that's that whole body of the auric field as well. But so she was giving us the name of those chakras, the earth star and the soul star, and that you can Google that. Okay.
Sorry, did you have something you said? Yeah, you mentioned how important this is in therapy, and I just wanted to mention that it's also really important and an integral part of professional life coaching.
Oh, yeah.
We spend a lot of time, that's one of our core competencies. We have 12 competencies, and active listening is number 12, or number 5. And so when we're sitting with a client, we are so, it's like what we're doing here. We ground, we become present, and that active listening just allows the words that the client is saying. Like I had a session Tuesday night where a client kept talking about the wall. And so what automatically came up for me was transformation. And so it was just it's very interesting how active listening can be used in so many different ways with the intent of higher good and transformation.
Yeah, thank you. And what kind of coaching is that? So I can repeat it to these guys.
Professional
coaching. So then Kim was talking about the same thing in professional life coaching, where it's 12 core competencies, and active listening is the fifth core competency. And I think what you were trying to describe too is the other thing that happens when you're listening to another person and they feel heard, their whole life opens up with it. And it makes all the difference. And all of us need that, where we feel heard, where we're actually listened to. Yeah. So, and Kimberly was just talking about how these listening skills are such an important part of therapy, and it is therapy when even just in a casual setting with a friend or a loved one or just another person who needs to be heard and they know they're being listened to. But for you personally, as it activates your whole body listening, that's where that gives you that greater access to your inner guidance. And what happens when your inner guidance is engaged, you're listening actively, then as we talk about this being conscious action, that translates into solutions, translates into decision making, and then that all translates into being conscious about your actions, which is what brings us back to our workbooks and, you know, being aware of where your actions, what field are your actions operating within in any given moment. So I think this is a good time to to share a little bit about that. I'm going to turn this